Would ask the congregation please to stand. The congregation may be seated. Can I take this opportunity to welcome you all to Dromore Free Presbyterian Church for this service of thanksgiving for the life of Betty Briggs. Life is precious. It is a gift from God. And with Job we can say today that the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On behalf of the family circle, I would like to thank you for joining with them today in the house of God, and for the many of expressions of sympathy. I was in the hope this afternoon conducting a very brief service. I noticed the many cards. The car park is not only filled, there's an overspill to the road, and most of the ante rooms in the church building are filled. And they certainly do appreciate your presence here today and the many expressions of sympathy that have followed on the passing of Betty. Also on behalf of the session, the committee and congregation of Dromore, and also myself, I would like to express our deep Christian sympathy to the family circle, assuring you of our prayerful remembrance of you all at the throne of heavenly grace. And we're thinking today of Norman. We trust the Lord will uphold you and give you help today. We think too of Norma and Gary, and there are the grandchildren and great grandchildren. We think of a sister Jane and Victor and William and Shirley, and we trust the wider family circle. We don't want to leave anyone out. We would not want to offend anyone, and we trust that all may know the comfort and the grace of the Lord at this time. Remembering the words from Holy Scripture, when the psalmist David said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And again, the words of Scripture we read in the home. David said on the death of Absalom, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock today, men, women and young people, that rock is Christ. And we're glad today that the grieving soul will find refuge in Christ. The guilty soul can find refuge in Christ. And when your heart is overwhelmed, whether by sorrow or by sin, Christ is the rock that is higher than I. It's not the church. It's not yourself. It's not the minister, the priest, or any other. But the Bible points us to one today. Christ. And I'm glad that there was a time in Betty's life when she met the Saviour, 1964. I would also like to apologise for the absence of the Reverend Ian Kenny. He's the resident minister here in the church. I received a confirmation phone call about 10:30 last evening to take the funeral service, so I apologise for his absence. He hasn't been well, and today he's unable even to attend the service. I trust the Lord will give us help today. And we assure you, even though we are strangers, the family circle, that we enter into your sympathy today. And we have a caring spirit. And we want just to reach out with the word of God to give you comfort at this time. We commence our service by turning to the order of service on the first hymn, I Will Sing of My Redeemer and His Wondrous Love to Me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. We'll stand together after the key, please, as we sing. Unite our hearts together for a few moments in the presence of the Lord. Let's just take those few moments just to still our hearts in God's house. And while we are glad to see so many gathered here in the house of the Lord, there's one thing we desire, and that is the presence of the Lord. We desire above all things that presence that we have felt today would now begin to intensify upon all of our hearts. We want the Lord to be with us. Without Him we can do nothing. And vain is the help of man. We need the Lord to come and speak to our hearts today. It's a wonderful thing to know that God speaks through His Word to our hearts. God has something to say. And providence has you here in the house of God. The taking away of Betty's soul to eternity and to heaven is providence bringing you to consider your latter end, for me to consider my life, and where will we be in the great eternity. And if you get nothing else out of this service of thanksgiving today, then men and women, will you learn this? If this was your body, at the front of this church, where would your soul be? Heaven? Would it be in heaven? Or lost in hell? And we can say that Betty came as a sinner to Christ many years ago. Many years ago. And she did trust the Lord. And Norman has hope today. For he hasn't said goodbye. Just simply good night. Because Norman will see her in the morning. He has hope. But I wonder, my friend, what about you in the house of God? Where do you stand with God? Is it well with your soul? Do you have peace with God? Can you say, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Because heaven is a real place, a prepared place for a prepared people. It may be news to you that everyone is not going to heaven, only those that are saved, washed in the blood. That's the teaching, not of the church, but of the Bible. The words of Christ Himself. I am the way. So I trust today we will sit for a few moments in the house of mourning and consider the brevity of our own lives, the certainty of our own death, and the eternity that awaits us all, either for glory or for despair. With that in mind, let's come before Almighty God in the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us all pray. Our gracious and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before Thee, and we come first of all to acknowledge that Thou art God. Beside Thee there is none else, for Thou art the true and the living God. We recognize the gods of the nations are idols. They are the work of men's hands, the figment of their imaginations. But Thou art the true and the living God, the one who has declared in His Word, I am the Lord, and beside me there is none else. We bow before Thee, our Creator God, and we bless Thee that Thou art not a God who is not known. For Thou hast revealed Thyself to us in Thy holy word, and we come to worship Thee in the Trinity of Thy sacred persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thou thrice holy Jehovah God, we recognize that Thou art the Creator of the ends of the earth, the Governor of the universe, the Ruler of the nations, the Sovereign Almighty Lord God of heaven and earth. And Father, we come to Thee as creatures created by Thee. We come to Thee, our Father, not in our own name, nor our own merit or goodness, but we come to Thee in that name that is given among men, whereby we must be saved. We come in the high and holy name of Thine only begotten and well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We enter into Thy presence knowing that there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, as we approach Thee, we praise Thee today for our Redeemer. We were singing about Him in the opening hymn, the one who left heaven, came into this world, was born of the Virgin. We thank Thee He was made bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Deity became humanity. God was manifest in the flesh. And we bless Thee, our Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the express image of thy person. He is the heartbeat of God having come from heaven and the bosom of the Father. We praise thee that in Christ we see the express image of the Godhead, for it tells us in thy word that in him all fullness dwelleth, and that in all things Christ should have the preeminence. And we pray today that Christ would be uplifted, that the Saviour will be exalted. We ask to this end for the Spirit of God to come and to bring Christ and make him real to us. We pray for the solemnity of eternity to descend upon this gathering. We realise, O God, that we are before thee now. We are in thy holy presence. Therefore, Father, we pray for a healthy fear of the Lord. We pray, O God, that thou wilt captivate the heart and the mind of this congregation. And grant, O God, you will bring us to thy feet. Thou wouldst open up our heart and our ear and our understanding to thy word. Speak from heaven today. We thank thee, our Father, for the life of Betty. We thank thee for the memories the family have of a dear wife, mother and grandmother. We thank thee, O God, for the wider family circle, and we just commit them to thee just now. We pray for Norman. We thank thee, O God, for the years that thou didst give Betty and Norman together. We thank thee for their children. We pray for Norma and for Gary. We think of the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. We also pray today, Father, for Jane and for Victor, and we remember William and Shirley and the wider family circle. And our loving God, we also thank thee for the life of Betty Briggs. We thank thee for what she meant to her family and friends. And even today, in this funeral service of thanksgiving, Lord, what a token it is of the friendship she has formed and the people she has impacted in life. And we rejoice in that. And Father, we thank thee today that for Betty, when she came as a sinner to Christ, that it was well with her soul. And today, Father, she is absent from the body, present with the Lord. And in this we do rejoice. We just give thanks today for thy goodness and thy grace. Continue with us in this service. And grant, Heavenly Father, that Christ will be uplifted and seen, that man would be hid behind the cross, and that precious souls for whom the Saviour died will be brought to repentance and faith today. And we will be careful to give the glory, the honour and all the praise to thee, the thrice holy God of heaven and earth. We offer prayer today with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Norman's going to come now to the pulpit, and he's going just to say a personal word of thanks.
Very encouraging to see so many people here today. Thank you for coming. There's just some people I want to take a moment to thank, beginning with our families, Betty's family and my own family. I thank you for your loving care and support at this difficult time. But not only family at home here, but in New Zealand, in Italy, in Spain, in France, and Canada. Also for friends in Dublin, Wicklow, Waterford, England, and South Africa. I'd also like to thank the golf club captains, members and staff at Lisburn. We give thanks to friends and neighbours in the Lisburn area and the Dromore area. On Tuesday, 25th August, just passed, Betty began a hard journey from Rosapenna Hotel in Donegal to Letterkenny Hospital. to Craigavon Hospital, to Lurgan Hospital, then back to Craigavon until the 28th September, where the journey ended. My special thanks go to staff, doctors, nurses, and paramedics in all these places who did their utmost to make our journey easier. Finally, to Reverend Tom Martin, who's standing in for the Reverend Ian Kenny and his team, along with Mrs. Poots and her assistants, for making this service possible. And again, for all present here today, I thank you very much. Finally, Betty had been with me for well over 50 years because she said yes. She is now with the Lord forever because she said yes to Him.
Thank you very much indeed, Norman. We appreciate that. We know it's not easy to stand publicly at any time, but in a time when you've lost that which means so dear to you, we appreciate the Lord has given you help to do that. I do want to read some verses of Scripture. They're found in the book of Isaiah, the chapter 41. Some tremendous words of comfort in all the trying circumstances of life. But in Isaiah chapter 41 and the verse 8, we read these words: "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Verse 13. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 3 of Isaiah 43, knowing the Lord will indeed bless the public reading of His own precious, infallible Word. The family is the backbone of the nation, and the family unit is a great blessing to any society. Betty, I am given to understand, since I did not know her personally, although listening to individuals, seeing so many here, having talked to personal friends over the years of Betty, I wonder how it is I didn't know her, because everyone else seems to know her. But nevertheless, she had family values, and she believed in the family unit. You only have to go to the family home to see the evidence of the many pictures of the family, friends and the children and the grandchildren and others there, just decorating various walls and adorning pieces of furniture. And it is evident that she had a great love for her family. Further evidence of that is that Betty and Norman were married in 1957, if I've got that date right. Quite a number of years before I was born. A few, I would say. And having spent some 52 years of marriage together, it's a lifetime. You do not hear of those years in marriage today. It's commendable that they were still together after 52 years of marriage. Norman said to me in the home, she only has fallen out with one person in her life. And he says it was me, not the minister, the Norman, of course. I had to laugh, and I says, how could that be, Norman? How could you fall out with you? But she said she was a very friendly individual, and no doubt her life touched many people. And the proof of that is the gathering together in this house, and what a token that the family take from this, and especially they take encouragement and heart. You know, it's a lifetime of wedded bliss, of sweet and no doubt happy memories of a life that was not only lived, but shared together. They have one daughter and one son, Norma and Gary, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and another great-grandchild on the way. And to the immediate family circle and friends, I would like to tender my deepest Christian sympathy, trusting the Lord will draw near to you. I am told who those who knew Betty said that she was quite a character. And I haven't all the details. I'm sure you could write a book on her life, but the family have described her as a workaholic, always on the go, with something to do or else something that has to be done. Her working life started in the Bridge Hem Stitching Factory, but Betty would be best known for her work in the chemists of the town of Drumore. This is where most people got to know her in public life, as she met the public day by day. The first chemist she worked in was with Stirling's before moving to Cockies or Cockies, depends which part of the country you come from, where she spent most of her working life, some 30 years of service in that place. In later years, she spent about 10 years working in Johnston's Chemist. Information has it, such was Betty, and her experience in the chemist, that on occasion she could make her own diagnosis, she could change the prescription and give you what the doctor didn't order, and it would do you good. So in many ways she was quite a character. Having retired from Johnson's, Betty couldn't content herself with not working, but worked a further 3 years in Boots Chemist in Sprucefield, a workaholic to the last. And besides working, Betty, along with her husband Norman, shared a great love and passion for golf, and would have played every week. From the mid-70s, they were both members of Lisburn Golf Club, many friends from the golfing fraternity, and the golf club in Lisburn are present today, and we would like, on behalf of Norman and the family, to thank you sincerely for joining with them at this service of thanksgiving. But best of all, it's good to be able to say today that Betty was a saved woman. There was a time in Betty's life whenever she knelt as a sinner at the cross, whenever she called upon the name of the Lord and received Christ as her own and personal Saviour. Her first contact with the gospel was in Legacurry, where the Faith Mission Pilgrims invited her along to gospel meetings. They later encouraged her to continue hearing the gospel and bringing her soul under the sound of the gospel in Lurgan Baptist. There Betty sat under the ministry of the late Willie Mullen. And it was in 1964 that she gave her heart to Christ. At that time, Betty became an active worker and witness for the Lord. It was a number of weeks ago, the 25th of August, as we have heard, while on a golf trip to Letterkenny, that Betty suffered a stroke. She later was transferred to Craigavon and then to Lurgan Hospital, where sadly she was to suffer another stroke and passed into the immediate presence of the Lord on Monday evening past. You know, friends, death is the silent preacher. It could preach a better sermon than I possibly could. Death is the silent preacher, reminding us of the brevity of our own lives, the uncertainty of what a day may bring forth, the frailty of our own existence here upon this earth, and the great need for preparation for the great eternity. James, writing in his epistle, asked a tremendous question. What is your life? And he answers that life and he says, that is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. How short life's little day is. I'm sure Norman could look across on 52 years of marriage and think it was but yesterday. I say this to you. The words of the hymn writer are very poignant, aren't they? When he penned these words, life at best is very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, that fatal line be passed. Be in time, be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. You see, death is the silent preacher, preaching to us concerning the frailty of our own existence. You and I can make our plans. And no doubt we could start across the church here with the men there just sitting on the windowsills and in the pews and into the ante rooms and other ladies gathered and asked you about your summer holidays for next year, asked you about your plans for Christmas and your children, asked you about holidays you've planned, perhaps going away. But listen to me, we are not in control of our circumstances. God is. There is a line by us unseen. It crosses every path. It's the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath, and we can step over the boundary. God can terminate life. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. God is sovereign in this. And the Lord has set our bounds. And you and I may never see the 70, never mind 80, 90, or 100. We are not sure of what tomorrow holds. The Bible tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We do not know what is around the corner. And I wonder this afternoon, I wonder who will be the next one in this gathering. As I look into your face and as you look at me, I wonder who's going to be next. Whose body will we follow down the road? Whose soul will we think about in eternity? You see, the Bible has much to say about the subject of death. You know, some people say to me, you're very morbid. Listen to me, we're at a funeral. We're in the presence of death. Death is before us. You cannot ignore it. And listen, I may never see your face again. And you may never see my face again. In fact, you may not even care to see my face again. Or even hear my voice. But one day, you and I will stand together at the judgment bar of God. I'll be present, so will you. And I will have to give an account for this service, and so will you. And you might be saying, even at this moment, preacher, keep quiet till I get out of here. You may even be saying that. I don't know your heart. But listen, God has brought you here because God has something to say to you. It'd be do well for us all to listen for a few moments, that's all it is, a few moments, to what God has to say to us. The Bible reminds us of the reality of death. I'll be very quick. You and I are going to die. You know what Job said? I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. You and I are going to die. And you say, well, I'm thinking about living, and rightly so. Because life is a gift from God. But the Bible says, thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Death is certain. It is working already in us all. Listen to me. You cannot stop the aging process. You can go to Betty's chemist and all that she can give you, and she can look at you and give all the anti-wrinkle cream you can have and all those things to keep you looking well. But listen, you cannot stop the aging process, because death is working in us all. Death is working in us all, and we are being brought slowly to death. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. After death, the judgment. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And you might look at other people and even Christians and say they're a bunch of hypocrites. And you may be right about some people. And they're not living the way they should. And they profess the Lord's name. And they're not walking with God. But listen, you will give an account of yourself. Not of me. Not of anybody in your family. Not of any other person on earth. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. There's a judgment day. It's coming. And the Bible says, after death, the judgment. It's an inescapable fact. You and I are going to die. Now tell me, are you ready for death? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Secondly, very quickly, the Bible not only tells us of the reality of death, but it tells us the reason for death. And the reason for death, oh listen, rather than be guilty of oversimplifying, I will just simply say there's one word that explains death. It's sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, James tells us, bringeth forth death. Ezekiel 18:20 tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You show me a man or woman or young person, boy or girl, in this meeting house or in this province or this island of Ireland or United Kingdom to which we belong. You show me one person who's not going to die, and I will show you a person who's never sinned. Never sinned. Because the wages of sin is death. That's why we die. Oh, the medical world might have their fancy terms, and if there are doctors and nurses here, no offense to you. We believe that God has gifted to us with tremendous help and care in that respect. But listen, no scientific words or medical explanations can explain the reason for death. The reason the Bible gives is because of Adam. And the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And the Bible says, listen to it, I'll move on quickly. It tells us there, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, he was representing us all in the garden. He's what is known as the federal head of all mankind. You were present in Eden. Did you know that? In the loins of Adam, the seed of all mankind were present. And he stood there as my federal head. He stood as your representative before God. And when God gave the command to Adam, all mankind were represented in Adam. You were there and so was I. And the Bible tells us that. It tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men. Listen to it. For all have sinned. All. Think of it. There's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible speaks of the results of death. And believe me, I'm moving through this sermon very quickly. The Bible speaks of the results of death, because there's no such thing as annihilation. There's some people who believe when you die like the brute beast. You just die like the animal. You die like the dog, or you die like the beast of the earth. You don't. One thing distinguishes human life from animal life, and it's this. Man is a living soul. Man is something animal life does not possess, and that is the capability to commune with its maker. And inside that body of yours, this tabernacle of flesh, is the most precious thing you can possess. It's your immortal soul. Did you know that when you were born, you will exist forever? That's right. Forever. Your earthly remains will go back to Mother Earth, but your soul is immortal. It does not die. And you may look after your body, and that's good. And you may eat well and train well, and you may have a healthy lifestyle, and you may not touch drink, drugs, cigarettes, or anything like that. You may not abuse your body, but I say this to you, what about your soul? Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? And listen to it. lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I wonder today, if you're not saved, men and women, young people, what are you exchanging your soul for? Life's little pleasures? Will it compensate for the agony and torment of a lost sinner's hell? Luke chapter 16, read it for yourself. For the Bible tells us that there are only two places, that's right. It's heaven or it's hell. It's either saved or you're lost. It's either glory or despair. I wonder today, where do you stand with God? Let me just say this to you. In Worcester Cathedral in England, there are two stone slabs. They have Latin words written upon them. One word is miserimus. The other word is felicimus. Those Latin words mean this: miserimus, most miserable; felicimus, most happy. They describe the two classes in this world. They describe the two classes in this church building. And they describe the two classes that go out into eternity. And I wonder today, and I'll move on, where do you stand with God? If you were to die now, and we were to write that inscription on your gravestone, would it be miserimus, most miserable, or felicimus, most happy? The Bible tells us we are to be ready for death. You see, you don't have to be old to die. Think of it. You don't have to be old to die. And listen, you don't have to be sick to die. But you have to be ready. You have to be ready to die. And it doesn't matter what you have in this world. You can have all the trophies the world can give you. You can have the best salary even in a time of recession. You can have all the material goods. But what good is it to you at the end? Did you not notice on the hearse? There's no tow bar. You can't take it with you. There's only one thing you come into the world with. Only one thing you and I will go out of this world with. That's our immortal soul. And the most important thing today is that you get right with God. And the only way you can do that, and I'll finish here, is through the Redeemer's death. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world. He was born of a virgin, made bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He lived a sinlessly perfect life, for He is the Son of God, sinlessly perfect, impeccable. He was without sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin, for in Him was no sin. He was the perfect man. Therefore, He's the perfect representative for us, because He's our humanity, made bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He entered into our humanity. God the Son, deity, came down to earth to enter into our humanity. Why? For the suffering of death for me and you. That He might pay the price of our sin. On the cross, Christ was not put to death by wicked, ungodly men. He was put to death because He became sin for us. That is, He stood as your substitute. He took your place. He died for you on the cross. Your sins were laid on Him, transferred to Him legally, not morally, for He had no sin. But legally transferred. He was made accountable, that is, punishable, for your sin. And those of us who repent of our sin, turn from it, and not only be sorry for it, but separate from it, and ask Jesus Christ into our heart to be our own and personal Savior, and trust Him alone, not the church, nor the sacrament of the church, nor in your good works or any other thing, but trust in Christ alone. You will be forgiven your sin. You will be saved from eternal death. I wonder, how will you go out into eternity? Will you go out carelessly, indifferent, mockingly? Or will you go out confidently? Let me just finish by saying, there was a Baptist pastor who went for a very serious operation. In fact, later on, the Baptist pastor did pass away. But the remarkable thing was this. As he was going in for the operation, one of the nurses that was attending him said, "Do you understand the serious nature of what you're about to go through?" And he says, "Yes, dear, I do. I do indeed." She says, "Well, do you understand when you go under the anesthetic, that you may not come out of this anesthetic, you may not wake up. And he says, well, if that's the case, I want you to do something. And the Baptist pastor who comes from this province said these words to the nurse, I want you to do something. Will you write two words on my eyelids? One on one eyelid and the other on the other. And will you write with Christ? So that whenever I don't come out of that anesthetic and you know that I've gone and I'm not there anymore, when you look down upon my human frame, you will see upon my eyelids when they're closed that I am with Christ. And he says, if you want to write two different words, then write these. He writes this, write with Christ or far better. Because I will be with Christ, which is far better. And how true it is, with Christ, which is far better. I wonder what we would write on your eyelids. Without Christ, lost forever, in heaven, in hell. What words would we write? I ask you in closing, where do you stand with God today? Is it well? Is it well with your soul? Do you have peace with God? And do you have the peace of God? Betty's passing would be, I believe, all the better if one, yes, even if it was only one, would come as a sinner to the Lord. And there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Come, sinner, and trust the Saviour today. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Could we turn, please, in closing to the final hymn on the order of service. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Could I just say that we'd ask you please to remain standing after the singing of this hymn and the benediction as the remains leave the church for interment in Banbridge Cemetery. For those not able to attend the committal, you're asked please to wait behind in the church building, and the ladies of the church here will serve you some refreshments. And those who will travel with the family for interment there in the Banbridge Cemetery are welcome back to the church here, where some refreshments will be provided. Do keep in mind the back of the order of service, please. The family appreciate your presence and support here today, and invite everyone to join them for tea here in the church hall following the interment in Banbridge Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers may be sent to R.J. Poots and Company, the address there for Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke Association. So do please keep those things in mind. After the key, we'll stand together to sing. Remain standing, please. Thank you. standing, please, for the benediction and also as the remains leave the church building. Our gracious and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the life that Thou hast given has ended. We praise Thee, our Father, for a life that can be truly celebrated and we can return thanks to God for. We thank Thee for a life in many respects that was living to the full. And we thank Thee, O God, that at the close of life's day, upon reflection, laying aside many things, we think of that year in 1964 when Betty came to Christ. And Father, we thank Thee for the grace of God. And we thank Thee for the salvation of the Lord. We thank Thee for Norman and for the help he's been given. We thank Thee, Lord, for his own conversion, for his own salvation. And we bless Thee that he knows the Lord. And Father, we pray for the wider family circle, giving thanks for those that are saved and praying for those that perhaps today know not Christ. We pray that this day they may be brought savingly to Calvary. We pray for the congregation gathered and pray for the comfort and grace of God for them. We pray you'll be with us just as we take our journey from the church and make our way to the cemetery. Grant as we would seek to lay back to Mother Earth these earthly remains, that we will be wise to consider our latter end and where will we spend eternity. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit rest and remain upon the Israel of God, both now and forevermore. Amen.